Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are being joined by
Tony Gittins, Director of the Washington, D.C. Film Festival.
Also known as FilmFest DC, and it is going to be virtual this year, October 2nd through the 11th. Hey, Tony, thanks so much for joining us again. It's always a pleasure talking to you every year.
It's always good seeing you and catching up. You know, we talk about the film festival, but I also learned from you, while listening to you, that all the great stuff going on around town. So it's always good talking to you.
Well, I know at the beginning of the pandemic, we spoke with you because you guys kind of, you know, you knew that you had the actual festival coming up this fall, which we'll talk about in a second, because that's the pressing thing here. But at the remind our listeners, at the very beginning of the pandemic, didn't you, we talked to you about, you did some sort of like a, I guess like a greatest hit sort of past films, and you streamed them virtually, right?
Yes, we did a program called FilmFest DC at Home. A lot of our fans, you know, they were disappointed that we weren't able to mount the festival in April. And we wanted to stay in touch with them and wanted to let them know that we cared about them. So we showed about 10 films free of charge. Anybody who wanted to see them could see them in the United States. And it was very successful. Films that had proved to be hits in past film festivals, past FilmFest DCs. We brought them back and it was a good time had by all.
Awesome. So, but now this right here that's coming up is, you know, a brand, rather than showing some like, you know, like that was sort of like a, you know, a collection of some old stuff too. This is like all new stuff for this time, right?
Right. Yeah. These are brand new films, films that we saw in film festivals last year that we had planned to show in April until we had to postpone. So these are our new films from around the globe, the same kinds of films we've been bringing to Washington for the last 34 years.
Now, give me the whole, you know, you have it listed on the website, but I want it in a soundbite, as you know, the whole, like, you know, 52 films from 35 countries, that whole thing.
Well, we're showing 52 films, 33 countries, over 10 days. And it's for folks who've been joining us over the years, they know what it's like for film lovers, people who just like ideas and are like culture from other countries, that we're the place to go for that. And so we've gathered these films and we're presenting them virtually this year, which means that people can see them over the internet via our website, filmfestdc.org.
Awesome. So yeah, explain how that works. They log on the website. Can they purchase, you know, a full festival pass, you know, at a discount so they can watch all the stuff, or I assume they can also do individual screenings, right?
It's FilmFest DC, only you can watch it from the comfort of your living room. That's the difference. It's the same format, the same procedures. So people go to our website where all the films are listed and the information about the films are listed. They can pick the film they want to see. They click on buy a ticket, and that takes you to the company we're working with that's selling our tickets, and they can buy the price for these tickets are only $9 a film, $9 a film. And then for folks who want to know that they're going to see more than 10 films, we have a director's pass. So for $70, you get to pick 10 films that you can see. And you just say these are the films you want to see. And you have 24 days to watch the film, 24 hours to watch the film once you select it. And you're good to go, having a great time at home with sitting in your house, eating your popcorn, talking to your friends and family.
Awesome. Now, let's go into some of the movies. And obviously, we, as you know, we don't have time to go into all of them, but let's do some of the highlights. Tell me about the opening film, Ordinary Happiness.
Ordinary Happiness is an Italian film, and it's a comedy of sorts. It's about a man who gets hit by a car. He's driving his motorcycle, and he gets hit by a car, and he dies, and he goes to, I don't know if you'd call it heaven, but it looks like a crowded train station. And it turns out they had made a mistake, and he was 92 hours early, so they send him back to be with his family. But he's conscious that of what has happened to him and what his next step is going to be. So he reevaluates his life, as you would expect, and builds a better relationship with his family and his friends, and and he just becomes kind of a different person. But you know, the people around him don't know what has happened to him. So it's their reaction to him, and it's very well produced. I was really struck by the quality of the production. The acting is great. The art in on the screen is good. The direction is very, very strong, shows Italy off very well. So we're opening with that film.
Cool. And then I see you also have another, it's Master Chang is listed as opening film as well. Is it like a double feature?
Well, the way the films are organized in our festival this year is we have two series. We have series one and series two. And so the number
of films. Oh, I see it. Series two. I got you. Okay.
Yeah. And we thought that would be an easier way for our audience to get a handle on all these films so we don't just throw them at them one time. So we've divided it in two. So Master Chang is opening up our second series. And this is a really charming film from Finland. It has a feel. I've rarely seen this kind of feel in for a film like this. It's almost fable-like. It's about a man from China. And his son, who sort of wander into this town in Finland. It's out back, and the people who live there are typical Finnish people. You know, they're eating and being very kind to each other and such. And the woman who runs the restaurant, all of a sudden these busloads of people show up, and so she needs some help. And the man from China raises his hand. It turns out he's a master chef, and he really changes the whole diet and the food that the menu of the restaurant, and it becomes a very popular restaurant. And of course, he begins to develop relations with the people there. It just has this very nice, soft, sweet feel to it. Of these people just getting along, you know, not a lot of tension in the film. But it's beautifully done, and you really fall in love with these characters.
Awesome. And then the other one you sort of have as a standout highlight is the closing film, Perfumes, out of France. Tell me what Perfumes is about.
Well, it's about a woman who is a professional nose. She has made her living and very well just working with perfume companies to get the right smell. I'm not a perfume person myself. I'm sure there are fancier names for it, and they pay her very well to do that. And she does it with other companies who might be having problems with released gases, and they want to make sure that they're handling correctly and make sure it's all gone and such. But then all of a sudden, this talent that she has begins to fade. It's not working the way it used to work. And she has a driver who's driving her on one of her assignments. And he and she developed this love-hate relationship. I don't want to say it's typically French, but it's the kind of film that I'm not sure you would see on an American screen. And the characters, again, a very interesting, stylish people dealing with this very strange challenge that she has. So we're closing with that. We traditionally close with a French film, mostly at the French embassy, when we're having our in-person festival. So again, to be consistent, we're closing with a French film this year as well.
Yeah, so you know, usually it's at the French embassy for that, and then the rest of the screenings are usually, is it Mazza Gallery usually, right?
We're usually at Mazza or at Landmark E Street, both of which are closed, as you know.
Yeah, Mazza's like a ghost town now.
Yep. As is downtown. I go downtown not as often as I used to. I go down there. It's not what it used to be. You know, the city, the country, perhaps the world is undergoing this real change and challenge and trying to figure out what to do. I got to say in the industry, the part of the business that we're in, that nobody really knows. You know, Cannes was virtual. Toronto, the Toronto Film Festival was virtual. A lot of New York Film Festival and festivals coming up, you just don't know. So it's a new world that we live in, and folks who love films and love film festivals, we're adjusting as well.
So you're adjusting, but also, you know, that's how you're handling it on your end. But for the users, why might something like this, you know, an international film fest, be something that can kind of bring us all together, give us something fun to do, maybe, you know, a reprieve from the, you know, the hell we've been living in the news and otherwise.
Well, because it's bringing these films into your home, into your, one of the advantages for us for doing a virtual festival is that usually our audience of thousands and thousands of people are drawn from Washington and the immediate area, Bethesda, Arlington, and such. With what we're doing now, we can go all the way through Virginia, all the way through Maryland. And so it means that people whom we were not able to reach before, we're now reaching, and they can buy tickets. And they don't have to get in their car, get dressed, go downtown, park their car, find a seat. And so that's an advantage to them. That's an advantage to them. The other advantage is that they could watch the film anytime they want during the film festival. It's not like, okay, it's Saturday at 8:30 at the Landmark. You have that film for 5 days, during which you can watch it 3 o'clock in the morning. So there is that flexibility that it brings. What it doesn't bring is the camaraderie. What it doesn't bring is standing online with folks and saying, what have you seen? Oh, I really love this. It's really great. Oh yeah, let me put that down on my list. Why don't we have a cup of coffee? That camaraderie is not there. And that's important in any kind of social event, especially if you live in an urban area. So that's missing. We're doing our best to recreate that, but we think about it as reimagining. We're reimagining the film festival, Film Fest DC. What do we have to do that's going to take advantage in a way of the situation we're in, so we're not thinking so negatively about it. And we think that and so far the ticket sales have indicated that people are agreeing. They are buying tickets. They are coming in. It's kind of surprising to see how many folks are responding so early on, and we are very happy about it. And we think we're providing a service.
Awesome. Do you think it's something that you might continue in future years? I mean, obviously you'll want to get, like you're saying, the in-person camaraderie back, and you'll probably you'd like to bring it back to the actual, multiplexes where you show it. But do you think there'll be, lessons learned from this whole thing that you might keep at least partially a virtual component?
Yes, I do. I do. How it's going to figure out and figure into the in-person, I don't know. But I think that there are benefits to the virtual. And I think no one wants to lose those benefits. It's refining them and figuring out how to do what's called a hybrid event. And this doesn't only pertain to us. This pertains to anyone in the event industry. Anyone who's putting on even a concert, they got to figure this out. We have to, if you're doing a conference, you got to figure it out how to do that. People are not going to be traveling the way they traveled before. But I do think, Jason, nobody knows. I mean, I stay close to the articles and the panels of other film festival directors around the world. I get interviewed about it, not only by you, but other great journalists like you. And they ask the same question. They don't know. A number of people thought, and these are people who were in the Hollywood commercial type of film exhibition. They thought in July. I mean, and I talked to the folks at the movie theaters that where we usually are. They thought it was going to be over in July and everybody was going to go back to work and the theaters were going to open. What is this now? This is late September, going into October. And there's no sign that nobody knows. The Hollywood people have been moving their opening films, as you know better than I, because you cover that.
Yeah, they put out, like you said, the end of July, they were like, okay, maybe it's time. They put out Christopher Nolan's Tenet as sort of a test the waters, and no one's going to the theater, hardly anyone. So after that, they said, oh, crap, when they've delayed everything else till like either the winter or next year, most of stuff. So we're all kind of figuring out as we go.
Yes. And they're losing money. They're losing millions of dollars with holding back these films. So they don't know. Well, if they don't know, and it's Hollywood and they got a lot more at stake than we do, we're figuring out our way as well. But what we have, and all film companies have this, but what we have is a very devoted, committed audience to these kinds of films. And in Washington, in the Washington, D.C. area, we're one of the few opportunities that they have to see these films. And so they come, they come and they want to participate and they want to see the films and they comment on what we're doing. So we do have that, and we feel very privileged to be able to do an event like this in Washington, D.C.
Awesome. Well, we appreciate you taking the time to join us, as always, Tony. Again, it's FilmFest DC, October 2nd through the 11th. Head over to filmfestdc.org to figure out all the virtual information. So thanks again, Tony.
Okay, man. Thank you. Take care.